to get from Manchester today to Birmingham and now to South Morton.
And we are live. Welcome to the special, the Wimpter Warrior special of the MMA UK show. And I would love to welcome Richie Cranny, the founder of Wimpter Warrior, to the show.
Thank you, Katie. Always a pleasure.
And I know that you want to introduce Mark as well.
No, not really.
I'll be off then. See you later.
Yeah. So Mark's come on. I've known Mark for quite a few years now, from very old days when I had one of my first entrepreneurial failures back in, like, I don't know what year that was. But
lessons. It was a lesson.
Yeah, it was a lesson. But yeah, just the website thing. But I met Mark when he worked at TNT, and he's always been a big fan and supporter of the sport. And then as Wimpter Warrior's grown, I needed someone on the ground in the UK. And so I poached him, which I'm very happy about.
So for anybody that doesn't know, and I'm not sure who that could be, because I must bring it up at least 50% of my interviews that I do. But for anyone that doesn't know about Wimpter Warrior, why don't you give us a quick rundown or a quick overview of it?
Sure. So the Wimpter Warrior, the Warrior Training Program is 22 week, or we're actually, I'll talk about it in a minute, but we're shortening it to 20 week just because we're taking out some rest days and stuff. But basically it's a training program that anyone can do. And the idea is to bring new people into sport mixed martial arts at grassroots level and give them the experience of a fighter and everything that goes with that, which is all the, you know, the fitness, the strength, you know, lots and lots of great skills, and having that opportunity to step outside their comfort zone and compete on a bucket list finale, which is something, as you well know,
yeah,
then that can really does change your life. So that's in a nutshell what the Wimpter Warrior program is.
And when you say anyone can do it, it really is anyone, isn't it? Tell us about, like, the oldest person who's ever done it.
So the oldest to date is 57, who's a great guy from Belfast. But we've had multiple people in their 50s. I'm not sure if I mentioned before, but I mean, we've had literally grandparents doing the program, like grandkids. Yeah. There was one in Cork. The granddaughter did it, series one. Tried to do the mother, series two. She didn't want to do it. So the grandma did it, series three. The granddaughter coached, was in her corner. There's this amazing picture of the granddaughter looking up and her grandma's in the cage getting ready to go.
Oh, my God.
Her grandmother won the fight and I think she fought three times amateur level after.
That is so cool.
Now, that isn't a story you'd ever associate with mixed martial arts before.
No.
Which is the thing I love the most. You know, this is... That's the thing that really inspires me and gets me really excited about what we do. Multiple people in the 50s. We had a couple of guys in the 50s in Manchester this morning. One guy, how many heart attacks did he have, Mark? Before
he was on his third. Yeah, he loves them.
Third? Not today, I hope.
No. He's three heart attacks in. That wasn't enough for him. So he had type 2 diabetes as well. And I saw him at the Manchester tryouts. So we're coming up, 18 weeks ago, Richie or so.
Yeah.
And quite genuinely, he looked like death. He looked scared. He looked nervous. He was apprehensive on the day. I had a little roll with him and he was gasping and blowing. And you saw this fella today. I mean, getting goosebumps just remembering that he was a different fella, looked fantastic, was telling us about how it changed his life, about how his confidence in dealing with people in his day-to-day life, how he's so much more relaxed and mellowed out. You know, his diabetes was getting under control. Just insane, you know, absolutely amazing, amazing guy. And I don't know how many kilos he was better, but I mean, he looked like his own son when you saw him. You know, he was in so much better shape. It was fantastic.
I think he's off all his meds, he told me.
Yep, that's right. Exactly what he told me.
His diabetes, which is amazing. So again, that's another story that, you know, and I repeat this, but it's to me, it's the most powerful thing about the program is
completely.
You know, people think about mixed martial arts and they think about the pro sports. They think about the pro fighters. They think about Conor McGregor and John Jones. But no one understands the foundation, the grassroots and what this sport people should be doing, mixed martial arts. It's not about fighting professional. It's about empowerment and strength and family and all the amazing things that go with in martial arts. But it's kind of magnified with the Warrior program.
Yeah, people talk about the purpose it gives them, the direction, the consistency of getting up and do something every day. And, you know, it teaches them that, you know, it's small steps. And as I said, with the example of Maz in Manchester, you know, everything else in his life, it just takes small steps, consistency and persistency, and you're going to get results. And it transforms people, you know, and the stories are endless, you know, every time. I was with Richie in Dublin last weekend, and we were walking out the hotel to the Bellator event, you know, people coming up to Rich going, "Hey, Rich, I did this season in Belfast, I did this season in Dublin, or you changed my mother's life, or you changed my son," and it was just nonstop. It's nonstop. And we were with a couple of, you know, forgive me, Rich, legit MMA celebs, and but elbowing them out the way to get to Richie and say, "Listen, thank you."
Elbowing out the way.
George Lockhart, Lockhart and Leith. The
nutrition calls.
Well, they just had a shout out from one of the fighters in the or they later got a shout out from the fighters. So, but you know the impact, you know, Richie and Whipped Warriors having on people's lives is, and I've seen it up close for the last probably 6 or 7 years now, Richie. And you know, I was at a barbecue at Richie's in Australia, of course, going a few years back now, Richie. But the office of Wimps a Warrior was a desk, wasn't it, in your basement with it's kind of a dream thing on the wall about, you know, where it could go. And now what we, you know, 44 gyms, 7 countries, however many people you've got working at the head office now in Sydney. Yeah. It's insane, you know, to have watched it up close over the years as well and see where it is now. It's, you know, it's humbling and it's inspirational in equal measures. It's an incredible story.
So what's your role, Mark? How do you...
When Richie's had a bad day, he drops the elbow straight in, no messing around, and I just take it.
No one can take these puppies, mate.
Yeah. So I work as operations director for Europe. What does that mean? I work with gyms in the UK. Obviously, they're in Australia. There's time differences. So I'm bringing onboarding great gyms in the UK. Gyms. I talk to a lot of gyms, and you find one straight away that have the same philosophy. You know, that fundamentally what they love is that taking someone who's walked through the door saying, "Hey, do you teach martial arts?" and taking them on that journey, whatever race, color, creed, gender, orientation, doesn't matter. We all know none of that matters when you're on the mats. It's character that matters. And sometimes, you know, you have to help people chisel away at themselves to find where that character is. And that's what the Wimp to Warrior program does. It's what all good martial arts schools, you know, have done for years. And, but the beauty of MMA is, of course, that over the years, yeah, you send your kids to the Taekwondo or whatever else, they get that. But when people see MMA on TV, they don't look at that in the same way. Rich always gives a great example of, if you watch football on telly, you can go down the park and have a kickabout with your mates. If you watch MMA on telly, well, how do you get into that? Yeah. You know, and a lot of the gyms that you'll know, you know, the well-established gyms in the UK will say, "Well, we were all fight gyms to start off with because that's all you did when you did MMA, you fought." Whereas now, it's, you know, there is a path into MMA that is like the kids that used to go, and, you know, every kid that did their first belt in judo when you were young growing up, everyone had a bash at that, and then it was Taekwondo, and now there's a path in with mixed martial arts. Now, obviously, for Wimp to Warrior, it's for 18 and over. But, you know, the other work Richie's doing with IMF will give people of all age a path in, you know, and show that it's a fantastic sport and everyone can get the benefits of mixed martial arts without, as Richie says, not everyone's going to be Conor McGregor. But, you know, but everyone, you know, but there's a lot of Conor Smiths and the Conor, you know, Conor Jones who want to give it a go. Yeah. And their mums and aunties and grannies. So so my job is to help bring those gyms on board. And it's fantastic. You know, you speak to people, and the moment you mention the grassroots, the love of teaching, you see for some gyms that the lights just come on. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. And I always refer back to the thing John Kavanagh said. You know, when there's no more trips to Vegas and the lights have gone and all of that's passed, he said the buzz of someone walking in saying, "Can you teach me martial arts?" And yes, I can. You know, and that's the thing that lives on. All the gyms I speak to, the ones that sign up, that's the bit they get, and that's the bit they love. And it's brilliant. You know, I get to meet some incredible, incredible people. There's so many great gym owners in this country. It's a privilege. It's an absolute privilege. and I work with them here, and I'll, you know, as we expand out, we're working with them in Europe, work with them in Ireland, yeah, SPG in Ireland doing a great job as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bring them on board, spread the message.
Well, exactly what you were saying there as well about you being able, you know, football being really accessible in terms of, if you like watching it, then you can just pick up a ball and go down the park with your mates. That was kind of the barrier for me, because there wasn't anywhere at the time. I didn't even really know what I was Googling. I just liked watching it on telly. I was trying to find somewhere, but how do you know if you're going to, you know, it's quite a big thing to just walk into a
massive,
gym.
You've
never met before, especially as an overweight older girl. That's quite a tough thing to overcome. So, and the other thing for me is, I knew that I wasn't going to be a natural at it. So going somewhere once a week, I thought I could be 85 by the time I'm ready to have a fight. Like, is this even worth it? So seeing Brad Pickett's tweet where he talks about this 6-month experiment to change your life, I sent it to all my friends and they were all like, this is you, this is you, you've got to do it. And for me, part of the appeal was, anybody else doing it was starting from scratch as well. So I wasn't holding anyone back. I shouldn't be, you know, like the worst one in the room by miles. We were all kind of starting from the same playing field. And for me, that made it easier. And actually, I still felt quite inferior at the beginning because I was the biggest girl and I was older than some of the others. And I still kind of felt that starting from, you know, like the from scratch with everyone. So I think what it would have taken to walk into a gym and just, you know, do it like that, I'm not sure I ever would have done it. And what a shame if I'd, because I still do it now and I'm still not good. So imagine if I hadn't had that intense crash course, I really would have been 85.
Hey, listen, you beat the person on the sofa. That's all that matters.
Exactly that. And, you know, jiu-jitsu is something that I've carried on with as well as the MMA. The MMA, I love it and I'm never going to give it up, even though I know that I'm never going to get any good at it. But the jiu-jitsu is something that I feel like if you put the time in and you practice and you really try, you can get somewhere just with sheer determination.
Absolutely.
So I'm now a 4-stripe white belt and I'm determined to get my blue belt this year.
That's fantastic.
That is all thanks to you guys and your program.
That's fantastic. Love it. Love it.
I still get beaten in every comp, but
doesn't matter. You're still competing. That's all that matters.
Win or learn, Katie. Win or
absolutely
learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to learn. So we've got some awesome guests coming on the show. And the reason that I'm having to drink a glass of wine while we're doing this is because it's the most guests that I've ever tried to get onto one podcast at any one time. But like, maybe you could give us a bit of a background on them, Richie, before they come on. We've got Michelle and Lorna coming on at 8:30.
Mm. What time we got now? So Michelle, first of all, so she was someone that took part in...
You're back.
Yeah, and so she was a grandma in her early 50s, you know, and she'd tell you, you know, she was pretty unhealthy when she started. So she's got a great story. I don't want to take her story away, but
yeah,
but that's her.
But she's an ex-warrior.
Yes, and then we're all jumping in and out. Is this me, do you reckon, or is this you guys? I paid extra for my internet today in the hotel, so
yeah, whatever.
It was like I said, I checked into the hotel here and I said is there good internet, because I've got this video podcast later. She goes, oh, it drops in and out. I said, how much is the premium? £6. But yeah, so that's Michelle, she's great. And then Lorna, again, she'll be able to tell her story a lot better than I, but she's been working with John Kavanagh in Dublin with his previous series, and she really focuses on, she's got a background in sports psychology, and she's been doing some work with those guys, and using the series as kind of like guinea pigs, and she was trying to map out, because as you know, it's when people talk about Winter Warrior, that when you market or you want to show someone, we do the easiest thing to do is like a before and after picture. Everyone gets that. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this person lost 20 kilos. Wow, that's amazing. But as you know, the mental strength is way more powerful than the physical. And she's been trying to map that out. So that's something that we can have. We can have data to say this person incrementally from whatever point to this point, that's the mental strength. So that's what she's been working with John. And she's just launched a really cool website for fighters to help them with their mindset and their preparation to fight and stuff. So we're kind of working alongside with those guys. And she's gone into business with someone in Sydney, one of my series, Sophie. And she's got a strong background. And again, Lorna will tell you this, but I put them together because they were kind of doing similar stuff. So
yeah,
Sophie was doing in Sydney. And Lorna, I said, you guys should just get together because their skill set's slightly different. Sophie does a lot of stuff with recovering addicts, like drug addicts, alcoholics, dropping clinics and all this kind of stuff. So which we do have quite a few people that are attracted to the program as like a reset. So yeah, she's got a lot of skill set there. And then Lorna's got the more sort of focused on the actual sports psychology of fighting. So you marry those guys together and they've like I say, they've just created this new website and I'll leave her to tell you about it. But yeah, so it's cool. It's very, very cool. I think it's just another great product, value add that we can offer people, just like Lockhart and Leith, you know.
I was going to mention them. So tell us what their involvement is, because I've just done one of their nutrition courses.
Yeah.
And I absolutely adore those guys.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah.
They're class guys, brilliant guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So George has been working with John and his fighters, well, they both have, Damien and George, but for a few years now. So, and John's been kind of saying to me for a while, you know, you should speak to George about doing nutrition for Winter Warrior. And we kind of went down a different route before, and that didn't kind of work out. And then, so me and George have been kind of playing phone tag for about 6 months now. And
two of the busiest men in MMA.
Yeah.
Well, unbelievable.
Yeah. So anyway, we eventually got to chat and then we met up in Vegas for Conor Khabib fight, and which you met you as well. And anyway, we just hit it off. We just, you know, when you connect with someone.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm very wary who comes into our business because there's a lot of people out there that are very good at what they do. But to understand what we do in this program, it's very special. And so I like to meet people and get a vibe from them. And John said to my business partner, Nick, at the dinner table, he told me later, he said, watch Richie and George. They're like brothers from different mothers. You watch. We sat down this dinner and we were just like, blah, 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 blah. We just nonstop talk. So we got on really well. He loves what we're doing. He's obviously really well known. He's the biggest in their business, Lockhart and Leith. They're the biggest in the business in terms of the pro fighter nutrition. But, you know, there's only so many pro fighters and there's a lot of people that could really use their help. So they want to really transition to more mainstream. And Winter Warrior is the perfect platform for those guys. So, yeah, we got together. They're now the official nutritionist for nutrition partners for Winter Warrior globally.
So what does that mean? If you're a WIMP, how do you access the Lockhart and Leith nutrition
program? So, you know, as you know, our training program is split into two halves. We do half and half. So you do the first half, which is all about strength and conditioning, getting you fit and getting you ready, and then you go into fight camp. So the first half of the program, they get a nutritional guide, which George has signed off, which is our original one. And then every week there's a different video that goes into our individual forums for each series, which everyone communicates on. And it's just either one of the guys just giving some tips on nutrition, recovery, supplementation, and more about motivation as well. So every week...
I'm so jealous.
I'll send you the videos. Get a new video. And then once they hit fight camp, they've got this new platform that they've white labeled for Winter Warrior and really tailored it to us, where you can go on. I mean, there's plenty of websites like this, but this is really designed for what we do. And then you just put in, you know, you put in all your data, you put your goal weight, it works out, you put in your training times, and it just works out your calories, recovery, you've done the course, you know what it's like. But it does it, it's basically idiot proof. So two things from my point of view, what it does for us is one, it provides, there's no excuses, you know. Yeah. It's when people are on the program, you know, oh, I don't understand, the coaches are too busy. No, it puts the onus back on the people, and I think that's really important. You've got to own your journey with this. It's very easy to kind of play the blame game sometimes. So that puts the onus back on the guys as well. And then it frees up the coaches to really concentrate on training the guys for the fight, and they don't have to get as involved with the nutrition. So I think it's brilliant. I think it's, so every series that started this year, January onwards, they all get the Lockhart and Leith nutrition stuff. So very cool.
We've got a couple of questions come in, so I just want to get those in before anyone else joins us. Ben Cameron, one of the coaches from my series, says hello. And Michael says he loves Michelle that's coming on.
Hi, Ben.
Peter wants to know, are there any countries that you're not in at the moment that you'd like to take Winter Warrior to? I think you'd like to take it everywhere.
Yeah. If you spin a globe.
Yeah. Where shall I start? I've got a list here. Look, everywhere we go, it has its challenges. You know, the simple ones about going into mainland Europe is everything has to be translated. I've been looking to go into Portugal for a long time, but we just, it needs a lot more time and effort. So I need someone on the ground that can put the hours in and get that to it. But now Mark's come aboard, I think we're going to really push into mainland Europe. I met someone in Cork on the Cork series who's Russian, funny enough. And he was like, you know, if you want to come to Russia, he knows all these gyms and, you know, I'd help you do the translation and do the introductions. But my head kind of explodes when I think about that, because I don't have the bandwidth at the moment. So, which is like, I say with Mark, we're heavily involved now. We've really grown into US and Canada. I'd like to go, you know, Brazil, Mexico, the South American countries would be one for me. And then Asia is a big target for me. You know, I'd like to think that end of this year, we'd have at least one or two series in Asia. And then I've been approached by, you know, the Middle East countries as well. You know, IMAFA, you know, they're having their finales in the Bahrain. There's lots of opportunities there. So is there any countries that I want to go in? Yes, heaps. Iceland as well is another one.
Love that.
Gunny's Gym.
Yes. So we were out with Gunny's dad for dinner the other night and talking, and they really want to do the program there. But it's illegal to have amateur MMA fights there at the moment in Iceland. So there's all these challenges, and until IMAF, you know, gets everyone on board and we get recognised as an official sport through the Olympic committee, etc., we're always going to be battling. We go into new territory. In the US, every state has different rules, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I want to have the same rules no matter where you do the program. It's going to come under IMAF, you know, amateur rules. But you've got to have these conversations everywhere you go. So it's not as simple as just going, I want to go in this country. There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
And then you've got all the branding, you know, you've got to get recognition there and tell the story. So look,
presumably there's like different legislation in every country that you go to, and you must have to get legal advice.
We were just talking this morning, weren't we, about maturity of markets.
Yeah.
You know, there's different places you can look at and go, well, that might appeal on one level, but I mean, I did. We were, in fact, it's quite a success story. The guy that came through Wimps Warrior and ended up with the connections in for one, wasn't it, Rich?
Yeah.
Just going off a bit of an angle, but so I was in Malaysia for 4 years. I lived there, so I was heavily involved with mixed martial arts in Southeast Asia. So I worked. I sponsored one fighting championships, Malaysian fighting championships, stable of fighters that fought on one, what is now just one. So I know the infrastructure there pretty well. So logically, that might be a move, you know. But you know, like you say, there's different things. There's who's in that market already, and trying to, you know, you want to work with people, you want to amplify the market, you know. So picking your battles or picking your market. Sorry, is a better expression. But there's just so much opportunity. Like Rich says, your head explodes. You know, you've got to have some sort of criteria about where you're going to go. And there's cultural aspects as well about how people might view, you know, going in at a grassroots level. In here, we have a very, there's a clear need when we understand the difficulty of walking into the gym for the first time. Are other markets at that space? Would people even consider it? Or are they a few years behind where we were in our progression? You know yourself, 10 years ago, would you have been Googling MMA? You know, so we've got to just think about where people are at their stages. Yeah. And there's still, I said it this morning, there's geographic work you can do, but there's also demographic work to get out of the way first, you know. So you could, in this market, there's still huge demographics to make inroads into, to get more people through the doors in this country as well. So it's a multifaceted answer.
Yeah. Michael Stewart's actually retracted his message, which he didn't have to do. He was he said that my wine glass keeps filling itself.
I that was going to be my message as well, because wherever you got that wine glass from, I'll buy one of those.
I'm just going to say that it's quite thirsty work, you know, doing a podcast.
That's a great shout from Michael.
And one more question. Yep. If you could change one rule in MMA, what would it be?
Controversial. I hate the soccer kicks that are in one. I just think it's a really bad look for the sport when you can soccer kick someone in the head when they're on the ground. I think it's I understand why they do it from a martial arts point of view. It's we're in the space of trying to get acceptance for our sport, and I think things like that.
We're in the space of trying to get acceptance for our sport, and I think things like that are just how to do it from a martial arts point of view.
I was all echoing there. I was hearing myself. Am I there?
Right. I think we're good, and I think Michelle and Lorna have joined us.
I have, yeah.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Right.
I think
we're
good, and I think Michelle and
Lorna
have joined us.
Yeah.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. A bit of a meltdown.
More wine.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. Bear with me.
It's all right.
Lorna, we've broken it. You have those.
Lorna, we've broken it.
Oh, no. We messed it up.
Has someone got a live stream next to their computer?
No.
It was Lorna. Sorry.
I knew it was going to be me. Bloody I didn't know.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry, guys.
That's mind games there. Mind games.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did that on purpose.
I think she knew as well. She was just kind of sitting back going,
yeah.
I was like, what's that noise? What's happening? Sorry.
I just say Frankie Anderson is the cleverest guy in the universe. He's my absolute hero. I ask him the most off the wall questions and he answers them like that. So thank you, Frankie.
We should test
that. Thank you, Frankie.
Yeah, test.
Yeah.
Ask Frankie, make it a feature.
Yeah.
Right, so introduce you ladies properly. Michelle.
Hi.
Tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself.
Okay, well, I'm now 52. When I applied for the Wimps Warrior, I was 50. Three grown children, three grandchildren. Brought my children up. Quite a low ebb mentally. I'd separated from my husband. Diabetes type 2. Unfit, unhealthy. Saw an advert for Wimps Warrior and thought I would really like to do it. Bit nervous about it. But I just walked up to the gym, walked through the door, did the trial, absolutely loved it. I remember doing the grappling and it was just so much fun. It was absolutely fantastic. Started on it. It's the only thing I've ever started and finished in my life ever.
Wow.
So it was fantastic. Getting up at 4:30 every day, getting into my routine, meeting new people, best thing I've ever done, ever. Love it.
What about the advert appealed to you and made you want to go to tryouts?
I'd always been quite interested in boxing when I was younger. I used to love watching it, never took part in it. I enjoy watching MMA as well. And just thought, you know, I want to do it. I want to try it. It's why not? You know, I've got absolutely nothing to lose. As I say, the biggest obstacle, I think, was actually getting through the doors of the gym, because you have this perception of people, they're all going to be healthy, they're all going to know what they're doing, they're going to look at you as if to go, what is she doing? What are you thinking? Absolutely nothing like that at all. Nothing could have been further from the truth. Everybody is so friendly, so supportive. The support that I've had from family, friends, strangers, unbelievable, absolutely fantastic, life-changing.
And it's like getting, I don't know about you, but for me, however many people are on the season, that's how many instant new friends you've got.
Oh, it's like family, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all still in touch. Some of the season one boys, four of them, are going to take part in the season two finale in a couple of weeks. So we're all revving up about that at the moment. Bit of banter going on.
Michelle was spying this morning. She was spying.
Did a good job as well.
Well, you've actually had some fan mail, Michelle. While we've been on the podcast, you've got a few comments. Michelle's such a humble, lovely lady. Our series mother hen, total respect. And hard as nails, hashtag supergran.
Supergran. Yeah,
that's my nickname, mother hen. I can't help it. I just tend to mother everybody. Don't even realise I'm doing it. Hitting the face and then, sorry, you okay?
And are you still in touch with some of the warriors you took part with?
All of them. We regularly chat. We have our own little group. I went to a grappling competition on Saturday and Carlton, he was competing. So that was good. Yeah, we're in touch.
And have you carried on with your training?
I struggled. I had an injury on both knees and I really wanted to continue. And I have to say, they've only just properly healed. So I've just signed up now to a local group near me. Because of the distance, it's difficult to get to FCPC, just mileage and things like that, end of the day.
Yeah.
So I've found one local to me now and I'm ready to go again. But I also want to do the Wimps Warrior again next season. I wanted to do it this season, but I say with my knees and with work commitments and money, because I'm on my own now, obviously, so money's tighter, I couldn't do it. But in a way, I'm glad, because it's given me that breathing space. And I can't wait to do it again.
We really, really miss it as well.
Really miss it, yeah. The structure, the 4 a.m., the 4:30 get-ups, everything about it, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I miss it too.
I know. This morning to see Richie and I just brought it all back and it was just, can't wait to do it again, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. And Lorna, coming to you. Please introduce yourself to us and your role in the Wimps Warrior program.
Yeah, so hi, my name is Lorna Lawless, and yeah, I'm a psychologist. So 2 seasons ago, I was chatting to John Kavanagh, and he was telling me about Wimped Warrior, and I was looking at doing a few coaching sessions with him and Gwyn, and just kind of, originally I came in at the end, towards the end of the series, when the nerves are all very high coming up to fight night. So John had said, you know, could you come in and have a chat with a few of them about performance anxiety and stuff. So it just kind of went from there. I was blown away by everybody I met and was really taken by their journey and the mental toughness that they had begun to develop. So I kind of thought then, you know, wouldn't it be great to be able to measure that in the same way that and that other things are measurable with Wimped Warrior in terms of the physical changes. So I ran the idea by John, and he put me in touch with Richard Cranny. And so, yeah, I use a psychometric tool called the MTQ48, and it measures 4 areas of your psychological skills. So it's your levels of confidence, commitment, control, and your ability to enjoy taking on challenges and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. So it's great. It's a great tool. So I then came on in the second series, and I tested people at the beginning and then again at the end.
How do you quantify that?
It's an online assessment. It is measured on a scale of 1 to 10. And it's just, it gives you a profile based on your answers to a series of questions. There's 48 questions. So it just gives you a general score then. It's all generated online. So yeah, so it was great. We saw some amazing results. People had, you know, one client that I had doubled his levels of confidence as a result of doing Wimped Warrior. And his levels of confidence in his own abilities and going forward. And, you know, that really helped in obviously many other areas of his life. So as Richie said, then he put me in contact with Soph over in Sydney. And she's amazing. We got on straight away. And we went off and we built combatmind.coach is the website. And so it's, we've done 22 weeks of mindset training skills for Wimped Warriors. So basically, it's not just people in Dublin or Sydney series that would have access to this sort of mindset support. And we're going to hope to offer it out to everybody. But we're really just highlighting the importance of the developing these mindset skills and how important it is to strengthen the mind when it comes to performance. And tips about, so Soph's background would be in NLP, and so a lot of that is about overcoming limiting beliefs, and then we have things to do with building self-confidence, making plans, actually sticking to them, holding yourself accountable. You know, there's so many life skills that are necessary to get you through the program. Mm-hmm. That are also developed as a result, but we're just there to support people who want to really make the best of this.
Yeah, but how do you teach people that partway through, or is that just something that how do you support them in learning those skills, or does that just come naturally as part of the program?
No, we have tips and exercises, and so for instance, in terms of learning to set goals and plan for yourself. A lot of that can just be actually creating time for yourself to sit down on a Monday and write out your goals, what you want to achieve. Look at them realistically. Like, don't just set yourself unrealistic goals, and make a plan. And if by the end of the week you haven't achieved that, you need to start holding yourself a bit accountable and looking a bit deeper and ask yourself why. So is it due to, you know, fear of failure? So we can be really good at putting ourselves out there, but sometimes we don't actually give it 100% because, you know, what if you do fail then? And, you know, what will that say about me? So these are all barriers that we create in our own mind that what myself and Soph do and what we specialize in is helping people to deconstruct those and to overcome them in a way by giving them psychological tips and skills.
Yeah,
it's very like building physical strength. Like your brain is a muscle, you know, and right. when we begin to think and learn in different ways, it creates new neural pathways and circuits, and they need to be strengthened. They need to be engaged with every day. So like that, you know, we often say you don't get a six pack from doing 1 week of Wimp to Warrior.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes dedication, but the results at the end, they're well worth it. So
yeah. And Michelle was saying just a minute ago that this is the first thing that she's in her life that she started and completed and finished. And there was a guy on my season of Wimp to Warrior who said the exact same thing. So what, you know, that's a huge achievement for people, yes. Way beyond the physical, yeah, achievement, or way beyond, you know, learning a martial art, and it's kind of the biggest thing in their life if that's the only thing that they've ever seen through to the end. It's fascinating to me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Sorry, the mental benefits of doing Wimp to Warrior are huge. Obviously, the physical benefits are training, but the confidence, the inspiration that it gives you, it's massive. And for me, that was one of the main things. As I say, I was quite mentally poorly when I started, so it was kind of like a healing process, I suppose. And over the weeks, you continue to build in your confidence and your self-belief, that, you know, you're not a failure and actually you are good at a lot more things than you actually think you're good at. And that comes also from, like, the Wimp to Warrior family that you're training with day in, day out. So much support, and you give one another so much support. So yeah, not just the physical, it's certainly the mental benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, it's life-changing. And you know, confidence isn't something that you can just talk yourself into. You have to, confidence comes through action. And you have to do it. Wimp to Warrior is the perfect platform for people who are looking to you know, to really bring about significant and sustainable change in their lives, you know, not just something that, oh, I did it, you know, a couple of weeks, or a couch to 5K, and what do you know, a few weeks later, you're back to your, you know, your normal habits and routine.
And that's
sorry.
It is sustainable, and you do take it from your program onwards and into your life and into your work life and into your private life, and it is just on you. It just helps you so much. Yeah.
Can I just, I just met Michelle for the first time this morning down at Stapes Gym over in Manchester, and Michelle, I'm not trying to embarrass you here or something, but you were so instantly engaging, and everyone around you, just the vibes coming off you were so positive. The stories you were telling me about how it's impacted on the kids in the school and your family and everything else, and maybe that's a story you've told a few times and you don't realize the impact it has, but I just thought it was immense. I was so you know, inspired by it. I thought it was absolute genius.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, just while we're on that topic, one more, because I don't want this to go to your head, Michelle, but I'm going to read out one more comment from Jodie Willington, just adding to the Michelle fan base. She's made me extremely proud as her daughter, and I can't wait to see her continue to develop.
Oh,
thank you.
But the knock-on effect, family, friends, colleagues, the children, it's huge.
Yeah, you inspire other people around you. It's contagious.
Yeah.
Emotions, yeah.
Lorna, as a mental coach, what would you say to people that see the advert and would like to do it but just can't bring themselves to get to the gym? They're just too worried about what it's going to be like.
To sign up to Wimp to Warrior. Yeah, so that's, again, that's kind of going back to these limiting beliefs that we set ourselves, and this kind of like, oh, I wouldn't be good enough, or I couldn't do it. The thing is, it's that fear of, if you put yourself out there and you fail, and you know, what would that say about me? And a lot of the times we care a lot about what other people would think or our impression. what I would say is to people is that, you know, you only get this one life and make the most of it. And we don't create happiness or well-being through sitting back on, you know, and observing the world. You have to go out and do it. And it's the same with, as I said, with self-confidence. So if your issue is that you don't feel confident enough to go forward and achieve your goals or your dreams or what you want to from life, you're never going to. Like, that confidence is never going to come knocking on the door. And you have to go out and find it. So if it's change is something that you really want in your life, it's something that you just have to do it. There's no other. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid, you know. It's never just going to come to you. Confidence comes through action. You have to take the first step. And even if you just inch forward every day, and if someone like that has seen the advertisement for Wimped Warrior, and they think that's something I'd really like to do, but, oh, like, what if I look silly, or, you know, like that, the age thing, or my weight, or whatever. When, at what point do you actually want that to change?
We're going to have a few more guests joining us in a minute, and we're going to have to let you ladies go when they do. But I just wanted to, there's a guy that's written in, and he's asked, is it really possible for any ability, age or size of person to do Wimped Warrior? And I know this guy, and he's in his 50s, and he was very overweight, and he's lost almost 4 stone already.
Whoa.
Just like, if I can, to just get like a really short sentence from all of you about your thoughts on whether he or anyone could do it.
I'll go, yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter what size you are, doesn't matter what age you are, just do it. If it interests you, just go through the door. The regret of not going through the door is bigger than the fear of actually going through the door of the gym. And the perceptions that people have of gyms, they don't need it. Everybody's welcoming, everybody's friendly. So just do it. Age, size, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
I agree.
Yeah, I second Michelle's comment. Just do it. That's the only way to overcome it is true action. Take that first step.
And I'd just add to that every single person in every single gym has felt exactly the same way at one point.
Yeah.
And they took the step, and they'll be delighted that you made the step as well, 100%.
Yeah,
I'll just finish on that as well. I mean, it's the thing with this is people, you know, all those things you go in your head, you know, I'm going to be the unfittest, I'm going to be the biggest, I'm going to be the heaviest, I'm going to be the oldest. But with Wimped Warrior, pretty much everyone in the room is having that same thought. They're all there because they feel they need to improve in some way. They're not walking into a room of athletes. You know, that's the beautiful thing about the program is everyone rises together. So everyone has that same feeling. So they're not alone. Just walk through the door and join.
That's at that baseline. Everybody starts at that same level.
Yeah.
And one more question for Lorna before you go. This is such a good point, and I didn't even think about it, but is there a program in place for the following months after the finale? This comes from one of the London coaches. It's so true. I felt exactly the same. Both seasons 1 and 2 in London, out of the Warriors, all suffered from the loss of training and group dynamic. And I think I actually lived really far away from the gym, and I had to move home after it finished. So it's not always possible for people to carry on at the gym. And even if they do, it's not that same every day with the same group of people. It is such a void in your life afterwards.
Yeah. It is. It's a massive deficit. And it's something that kind of initially sparked myself and Soph's idea was to have this aftercare program in place. Because like that, you're going from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, you know, and what goes up must come down. And not only that, you're then missing that social support, that connection that you've built. And so, that's huge. We are looking at putting together an aftercare program that would be an add-on to Combat Mind. And what that would do, what we aim to do with that is to have it as a community-based level for everybody to keep in touch. we also have ideas about just being able to help people to keep on top of the mental skills that they have developed from Wim to Warrior, and to be able to roll that out. And you know, how are you using that now in your life, in work? What way are you planning? What goals are you planning? How are you still committing to them? Because you know you can do it now.
Yeah.
You know, you've developed those skills. So we are, with myself and Richie will, and Soph will have a further chat about that.
Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming on. Guys.
Thank you.
It was amazing to have you. Thank you.
Bye.
Here you go.
Welcome, boys. Can we welcome Colin and Christian to the show?
Hi there. How you doing, guys?
Hi. Good evening, hey, guys. God. All okay?
You've got some shady light in there.
Ah, yeah. Sorry. It's not the best, is it? Hang on.
No.
Yeah, okay. You can play it while I'll carry on talking, Chris.
Yeah.
So good stuff. We finally got there in the end. Like, in terms of joining this Hangouts, I've never used it before. But yeah, we got there. I'm happy.
What's he doing? We've got it on in the
background. What's Christian doing?
I'm not sure. Oh, because it...
light, not better light, no?
Okay. I think I look better.
So, guys,
how are you doing, guys?
And please introduce yourself to everyone and your role in the program.
Sure. So, I'm Colin Nwadike. Just sitting next to me is Christian Araldi. We're the owners of New Wave Academy Training Center. We're an MMA, Brazilian Jiu Jitsu, kickboxing, boxing gym based in Croydon, South London. And yeah, we're very new. Sorry?
Is that where Dan Moverheady trains?
Yes, exactly. Dan Moverheady and Sam Amida, they both train with us. So two of the awesome. Top referees in Europe. Okay, yeah. We're very honoured and very privileged to have them joining us. And they train with us on a regular basis. And Dan's son also trains with us as well.
I'm surprised they haven't crashed
the
podcast.
Yeah. They're not here tonight.
Yeah.
They would have been, where are they actually? Yeah, good point. Well, I'm not sure. They were here yesterday. Okay. So yeah, as I was saying, we're new to the Wimp to Warrior family, and you know, we'll be starting our tryout process as of next month, and yeah, and looking forward to the first season. Absolutely.
So how are you advertising to people in the area? Have you had interest already? And how do you see it going?
Well, we're super excited. We've had a lot of interest, actually. I mean, so far we've been kind of doing a lot of sharing on our social media, putting the word out. We've got a big banner in our gym, of course. So people are asking, saying, what's that? You know, they're asking us what that's about. We've also had some contacts assigned to us using the other app, which slips my mind. But that's another app which is new to me, thanks to Warrior. So, yeah. Interest is great. It's very early days yet. But every day there's more people who are, you know, inquiring and trying to find out more about it. And we're looking forward to a really exciting season. You know, we're looking forward to those 22 weeks. I mean, it's going to be great. The whole team here is excited. And we can't wait to get started.
It's going to be great to meet some really motivated people that come out of bed at the crack of dawn to come to train, you know.
You make them crawl over broken glass in the pouring rain at the tryouts.
Yeah.
What are you looking for people at the tryouts? Like, what is it that you're going to see in them that you think that they can last the distance?
Do you want to start, Chris?
First of all, if the tryouts, when you go to the tryouts, they do, and then they pay up.
We can still hear you.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. Sorry.
they're doing the tryouts. So,
well, okay. you need people with motivation, real motivation, because there's a lot of people that come through the door, yeah, and when they start breaking sweat and they start thinking of, you know, when they get someone on top of them, all of a sudden it all fizzles out, you know. You want someone that is really determined, yeah. Even if they're unfit or you want them with you know, you want them determined, you know, and they will go the distance. And you can see, I kind of can see that kind of people because we got a lot of people coming in the gym and we kind of know who is going to last, you know, who isn't. So I really hope to, you know, to get to see the transformation in these people.
Yeah. It's, from the thing that you guys won't have noticed yet, because you're running a gym, you get people coming in for a specific reason. They, you know, they want to get fit and learn martial arts or jiu-jitsu or whatever. But the thing you'll notice when you run your tryouts is they come in with a stronger motivation sometimes. Everyone has their own reason why they're doing it. But most people that you'll have in there will have something that's driving them to do something that they wouldn't normally do. So the motivation is almost always there at tryouts. You'll get people that are really unfit, but they will push farther and harder than like one of your members would, because your members are kind of just in cruise mode sometimes. And the motivation is these people are so hungry for change that they just, Kate will tell you, the tryouts, everyone's there and they're very normally very, very motivated. So you guys are going to love it.
The unfit person that wouldn't give up. And I do remember Ben Cameron, one of the coaches, saying to me, like, this guy had just got in his car and driven off. It was probably only 20 minutes into the trial. And, like, we knew that we were there for, like, 3 hours or something. And he was shouting at me when I was doing a plank, like, Katie, this guy has just got in his car and driven off and you're still here. And I thought, he's not holding me to a very high benchmark, the fact that I'm still here. some high praise. But I just thought, well, yeah, I am still here. Just try and get through it.
Can we just make clear that the tryouts are not 3 hours long for anyone watching that getting nervous?
like a big chat.
One hour and everyone's lovely. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Now we can't wait. We can't wait, honestly. And I think literally just as Richie said, every single person who enters those tryouts, who turns up and comes through the door, is here to make significant change in their life, you know, so... We know we're going to have a bunch of determined people, and like Christian said as well, they're not all going to be fit, they're not all going to be in the best shape of their life, you know, but they all want to make a change, and we like working with those sorts of people, you know. Those are the sorts of people we want to work with, those are the sorts of people we need to work with. So and let's face it, I mean, they're going to be in the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, so that takes a certain type of person. In fact, it's going to help me as well, actually, because it means I'm going to have to start getting up at 5 a.m. as well. So everybody benefits.
And from a coaching point of view, guys, you'll know as well, those kind of people, the ones that are really unfit and unhealthy and, you know, they're mentally damaged for some reason, they're the ones you want to work with, because they're, from a coaching point of view, that's where you get the most reward from, you know. That's why I love running the program so much, because it's, from a selfish point of view, it's the most rewarding coaching job I've ever done. And I've been coaching for a long time, and that's it's brilliant, so cool.
And got my new joining.
I think we've just had Andrew join. Andrew, are you there?
Brennan.
He can stay quiet for a minute.
Yeah.
Because once he starts, he
put himself on mute. Actually,
you'll never hear the last of it.
Yeah, we better get in.
So, guys, before we let you go, why don't you tell us when the trials are, when the first trials are, and where your gym is?
Ah, okay. So we're based in Croydon. We're based in Addiscombe, which is quite near to East Croydon Station. So East Croydon's largest big station, and we're near to our nearest station is actually a tram stop called Black Horse Lane. Okay, so we're in the Croydon area. We're really accessible, actually. Very simple to get to. And let me just double check the date of the first tryout. It is in March. Let me go to just my mind. Go to the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Give us a second.
It's been moved, isn't it?
The original date's changed. Yes. So Let's just get there.
Building the suspense.
Building the suspense. Wait there, hang on, it's coming.
Jumbo.
When people register on the website.
We're not heckling you, we think there's someone's kids in the background.
Hang on a second. So, okay, tryout one, Saturday, 9th of March. So, the
next
first
Saturday.
One is on, it's next Saturday. Yeah, yeah, sooner than we thought. And then the second tryout is on the 23rd of March. The third tryout is on the 27th of March. And we're looking to start on Monday, the 1st of April.
My birthday.
Awesome. Ah. Yay!
April Fools.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, wow, that has really creeped up really quickly, actually. So, but we're ready and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, nice.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about that. And good luck with the trials. We're going to post the details in the comments section after the show. So everybody get yourselves over to Croydon for the trials.
Excellent. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
See you, guys.
Nice one. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Thank you for waiting. But I think Dean and Andrew are now with us.
Hello.
Hey, you all right?
How you doing?
Hey, guys.
Oh, who's got their phone in portrait? I can't tell who it is. Could you turn your phone sideways?
Who's that?
Whoever hasn't got their phone sideways. Yeah, perfect. So, I'm sorry, I don't know who's who.
Andrew's in red. He's got his earmuffs on.
Yeah.
It's cold in Scotland.
You better believe it. It's always cold in Scotland.
So you're
even
dead.
When it's warm. Yeah, that's me.
Excellent. Well, who wants to go first, introducing themselves and telling about the story?
I'll go first. Okay.
Yeah, go on, Andrew.
Hey, I'm Andrew, Andrew Brennan. I did season one in Dublin. Was sitting in a car park one day, seen or heard the announcement for it over the radio, and just felt that it was a perfect fit for me for what I was looking for. I just kind of jumped at it, not really knowing what I was getting myself into, and absolutely loved it. Even now, when I think back on it, it was kind of a. I'd kind of finished playing football maybe a year and a half before that. I was kind of 34 years old, kind of extreme, kind of work life, concentrate on careers, et cetera, and although I had a great job at the time, just felt there was something missing, wanted to a little bit of adventure, I suppose, and jumped at it. Was a little bit apprehensive, and once I was there, I was thinking, why would you want to be anywhere else? And that's the way my mindset has stayed since.
So what did the advert on the radio say?
It was actually John Kavanagh, it was just kind of, he was being interviewed and he just mentioned about what it was and, you know, everybody's kind of fear is starting something, but I suppose getting somebody to kind of start collectively, which made the whole thing less daunting, I suppose. Yeah. Especially at 35, you know, you didn't want to kind of walk in somewhere and everybody's looking at you thinking, you know, you're 15 years too late, pal.
Oh, that's exactly what I just said earlier on in the show. It's incredible.
So, yeah, and when we did the trial, Richie was actually there the first day of the trial, and it was the toughest thing I had ever done in my life, certainly in a couple of years. And for the 3 or 4 days, maybe 5 days afterwards, I remember asking a colleague that I worked with, was it possible that your skeleton moved inside your body? Because I genuinely didn't feel well for 5 days.
Don't put people off. We're trying to attract people on this show, you know.
I think it was it's more of a reflection on how out of shape I was, more so than how tough it is.
Slight Irish tendency to, you know, work with the truth there.
I think it got more of it being a hypochondriac.
Yeah, exactly.
But tell us how you overcame that hardship and how it became such a joy
it's
for you.
It's just about turning up. It's just about turning up, you know. Like the trial is there to kind of push you to your limit and make sure that, you know, that you're able to kind of grit your teeth and get on with it and kind of triumph over a small bit of adversity. It's not there to kill you. It's there to kind of push you to a point where you either give up or you continue. And there was people who continued and there was people who gave up. And I remember at the day of the first trial, Richie, I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was a guy walked out the door after 10 minutes and you pulled his paperwork. And the reason for doing Wimp the Warrior at the time, his reason was he wanted to show his kids that you never give up. He walked out after 10 minutes. So that was kind of a motivating factor for me after that. It was kind of like, well, I'm not going to give up. So I bit down hard and just went for it and kept going. And when it was over, I think I checked my emails about 600 times a day to see did I get accepted. And when I got accepted, I think I bought what was left in Sports Direct because I had no training gear up to that point, and got myself ready to turn up at the gym. And I was one of these guys who turned up. It was only short of having the stuff in the packet, taking it out of the bag on the first day, you know.
That was me too. If it makes you feel any better, that was me too.
Andrew, I have to ask, were those pink shorts from Sports Direct?
They weren't from Sports Direct. I've added to my gear since then.
I'd just like to say, because you know, we're talking about the new series coming on and you know, repeat series, Glasgow's coming again and stuff. The tryouts that I do at Dublin and did at Dublin were a fair bit tougher than what normally goes on for two reasons. One is that first series with Andrew, I think I had 100 people come through. I had four tryouts. I had, wow. I was running the morning and the afternoon on the Saturday and then repeat on the Sunday. And I knew that we could only get 45 or so people on the mats, so it was really a case of me just I pushed them a little bit harder than I normally would because I just wanted to see who really wanted it, and it wasn't a case of if someone failed they wouldn't get in, but if someone gave up, that's the thing, you know, they need to show that they want to be there, and if it means they have to stop and have a break and that's fine, but as long as they keep going, but that's why. And plus, you know, when I've done the tryouts, it's normally I come straight off a plane, I'm jet lagged, and I'm maybe a little bit grumpy. So I've tended to push the Dublin guys a little bit harder. But that's not the case everywhere else.
What Lee always says, and who's head coach at Winter Warrior London, always said to us that, like, he would observe, obviously he was going upstairs for MMA training, but he would observe on the S&C class the last 10 seconds of a WOD, and he'd see the people who thought, oh, there's 10 seconds left. Oh, thank God for that. I'll take it easy. And the people who thought, I need to get in as many more as I can, in that last 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dean, moving on to you. Welcome Hello. To the show.
Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for coming on. How are you? And tell us about your season.
I'm not bad, thanks. I'm pretty tired.
I think we might have lost the camera on you. Is your camera switched on?
No, I think what's happened, my phone battery is just about to die, so I've plugged it in, so...
Oh, okay, yeah, we can only have one at a time.
Son of a bitch. Doesn't want to see my face on the internet, which is probably a good thing.
Oh, you look so pretty. I'm sorry.
There's enough videos of me on the internet, don't worry. less said about that.
Tell us what to search under.
Put that wine down.
So I coached season two in Glasgow. I didn't really know much about Wimpy Warrior, to be honest, when they did the first one in Glasgow. My coach, Paul McVeigh, did the first one. Unless I didn't really know much about it, so I wasn't, to be honest, particularly interested. I was just doing my own thing elsewhere. And then I was in the early morning coaching a couple of days a week when the classes were on. And I would just see the same people over and over again. And I'd stick my head in sometimes and watch them spar. And a couple of my friends were actually, one of my friends, Jerry, sorry, was doing the series. So I would just kind of stick my head in. And then it was quite cool. I just kind of saw people gradually getting better. And I would see them, I would recognise them coming to classes at night and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is quite cool, actually. And then Paul asked me to referee the finale. So I kind of got to see everyone like kind of up close and personal. I think I obviously had the best view in the building that night, and I was really impressed at people who I knew hadn't really trained for a particularly long time. And I was impressed with not only the level of the skill, because they all showed a lot of good skill, but just the level of the determination and the want to compete in there, which is really cool. First fight was two girls. One girl came up from Manchester, actually, because the only way they could get the matchups right. And it's probably the most insane fight I've ever seen in person. These two girls just came out and started. I've cornered a lot of fights now, and these two girls like tried to kill each other for 3 minutes, so much so I nearly stopped the fight 3 times in the first round. Every time I was about to step in and stop it, the girl that I was going to stop came back and started swinging. I was like, well, I can't stop this. So it was amazing. I've actually never managed to watch it back, but
it's on YouTube.
I think so. But
you'll have to get us the names of those girls so we can put that in the comments afterwards.
It was absolutely brilliant. I actually want to watch it again, but I've never taken the time to search for it. But it was absolutely brilliant. I even get people now saying to me, "Oh, do you remember those two girls that fought in the last one? That fight was incredible." And I was like, "Do I remember it?" I was like, "I could see it. It was like right in front of my face, you know." So it was a great fight. But after that, like, I was like, this is really an interesting concept. And Paul said that he was too busy to coach the second one. Would I be interested in taking it on? So I was like, yeah, I was a little bit apprehensive because I'm not really a morning person. Getting up at 7 o'clock is a struggle for me, never mind 5:30. So I agreed to it, but I was pretty reluctant. I was not looking forward to the early starts. And I was kind of dreading it. But the group of guys that we had in, they were such a nice bunch of guys that it kind of flew in, to be honest with you. It was I actually really enjoyed coming in to coach them. They're all really keen to learn, keen to progress, and they were good fun people to hang about with. So that made it kind of really cool. And I've ended up, I feel as though I'm friendly with a lot of the guys. A couple of them in particular, we kind of got really close, and we keep in touch. And then at the series finale, I couldn't actually watch the fights. I've organised the show. Me and Gary, one of the other coaches, organised the show. And the show was kicking off, and I was like, I can't watch these fights. I like everyone. I've coached everyone that's fought. I can't watch these fights. So I just went back, and I just went backstage, and I just tried to make myself busy. I was helping out at the bar. I'd help kind of warm people up. I was just trying to do anything to just like not watch the fights, because I didn't want to see all these guys who I like punch each other in the face. And I was like, I've been doing this for like 10 years. Do you know what I mean? I've had a bunch of fights myself. I've coached loads of fights all over the place. And these fights, I was like, I can't watch these. I just couldn't watch it. But the guys that I got cornering the fights, like the assistant coaches, Reese and Terrence, they were coming back and telling me, oh no, they did really well, the guys did really well, this fight was really good, and they'd tell me bits and pieces before the next fight would go out. So it was really good, just a bit of a kind of weird feeling at the end. But I really enjoyed the whole experience of getting to coach these guys and see their development. And I think that they all at the end said that they enjoyed it. But a couple of them did find it hard to, in a way, fight the other guy because they're like, oh, I like this guy, you know? I didn't really want to punch him in the face.
Thought was like one of my best mates on the series. Like, because it's obviously halfway through that you get split into red and blue teams. And for some people, it was even worse because it turned out towards the end there was kind of an imbalance. Or sorry, I know you're not split into colours anymore, but split into two teams. And, you know, it might be towards the end that something's happened on one side or the other, or people have changed weights drastically. And actually, you end up fighting someone that you've been training with right the way through the 6 months. Like, that's quite tough for people.
Yeah, that happened with a couple of the guys. And I had a relatively small series, so you could kind of see the matchups quite early on. And I tried to veer away from that, not to make the obvious matchups, but a couple of them, it was like there wasn't really any other way to kind of to go about it, you know. To be fair, all the guys, they took it really well. They jokingly, like, when I told them I was announcing the matchups, I was saying to them, like, you know, guys, this is now's your time to start smack talking each other, telling each other that you think their mum's a cow or something like that. Just, you know, build the heat between each other. And they all started in a really fun way, just like really gentle trash talk, like, oh yeah, I'm going to beat you so bad that your mum's going to wish that you hadn't done Wimp to what. I was like, really lame trash talk, but it was really funny, just the stuff that they were saying to each other. And then at the end of it, like, everyone, we all got together, got a picture at the end and spoke to everybody, and everyone, like, I think a majority of the guys have been back in training, actually. A lot of them have, like, one of the guys, Alan, was literally back in the next day that he could come and train, you know, so that's been really good. You can see a lot of guys, a couple of them mentioned it to me, they got a lot of positive benefits, not just from their own, like, physical health and well-being, but their mental health and well-being. That's really been a positive experience from them. That's kind of one of the biggest takeaways for me, is these positive experiences for people.
Definitely. That's something we were talking about earlier as well. One of the questions that's come on for you is, what has been your standout highlight from the seasons that you've done? And listening to you already, you've obviously done probably more roles within Wimp to Warrior. You've been a friend of a contestant, you've been a referee, and you've been a coach.
Yeah. A lot of bases covered.
So what's been the standout highlight for you, or can you not pick one?
The refereeing was cool because I've done a lot of different things in MMA. I've been a cornerman, I've been a hand wrapper, I've been a judge at little bits and pieces, but I've never refereed and been that close. And that was a really interesting experience for me to see it from that perspective. It was really cool coaching the series and just getting to work with the same guys who were motivated to come in and train. Like, I've been coaching for quite a while now, and sometimes you get guys who, they're there, but they're not there. Do you know what I mean? They're there in body, but they're not really there in spirit. They're just there because they're trying to tick a box. Whereas all these guys in the morning are like, they've made that effort to get up in the morning to come in. So they're all like listening to you. If they ask you for advice and you give them advice, you see them trying to apply it. So that's a really nice thing as well. That's a frustrating thing in coaching. If someone asks you for advice and you give them advice, and then you see them still making the same mistakes, and not like, what was the point in asking me for advice? But all these guys would try and apply what you said to them, you know. So I suppose that's really kind of just the whole experience has been good for me so far. I'm looking forward to doing the next one.
Awesome. Andrew, it looks like you've rejoined us.
Sorry.
Good to have you back on.
I had to go in through my phone, my laptop. I don't know what's going on with it. It's just kind of died a bit.
It's better anyway.
You hear me, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just thought we've been heckled from the background, but yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, my son doesn't take direction very well. I was asking him to be quiet there. He just decided to answer me. He gets that from his dad.
So would you get him into martial arts, Andrew?
Sorry, say again?
Will you be getting your son into martial arts?
He does jiu-jitsu down in SPG.
How old is he now?
He's four.
start them young. Wish I'd started that young.
He's already got a tip on his belt, which is one more than his dad has. So.
Keep at it, Andrew. Keep at it.
Yeah, he trains. The kids' program in the gym is pretty awesome. There's three classes a week for kids that are between four and six. He only does two jiu-jitsu classes. There's MMA as well, but he only does two jiu-jitsu classes. So he loves it, though. Absolutely loves it.
Awesome. So when are the next series of the Glasgow one, and when's the next series of SBG starting?
We're about 5 weeks away from finale on season four.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
what date is that,
That's on the 5th of April in the Green Isle Hotel in Dublin. It's in Clondalkin in Dublin. It's the first time we've used the Green Isle, but it's looking like we're going to have close to 1,000 people at it, and it's going to be an unbelievable night, because, believe it or not, it's actually going to be the biggest amateur MMA show in Ireland this year.
Fantastic.
Oh my God, the biggest amateur MMA show in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
It's one of the big.
When's the next Glasgow show happening?
So we're looking to kick off the next Glasgow series on the 29th of April. So I'm just kind of in the process just now of organising the tryout. So we'll probably do that at the end of March, beginning of April. And then kick off at the end of April. So then.
So when you know those, we'll definitely advertise them on the MMA UK page. So let us know when you've got dates for those trials. I'm finding it my personal mission to get as many people in the world doing Wimp to Warrior as possible. It's honestly the happiest time of my life, and I know it's changed so many people's lives around, you know, actually it's a really interesting question from Ben Cameron earlier about the mental side of things after it finishes, because that is the one thing that I've heard from warriors. I don't know what you felt, Andrew, after it finished, if you felt like there was a bit of a
I actually look after I looked after season two, like kind of ran season two for John, because John Cavan is obviously really, really busy, and I kind of took the lead of kind of lead mentor on the series, and then stayed on for season three, and I looked after season four as well. And before everybody starts, I always give them a kind of get everybody in maybe the day before, or kind of maybe 2 or 3 days before the start, and I give everybody the kind of the same talk that, you know, start making a plan for what you're going to do when it's over, because if you don't and you focus solely on the finale, then when it's done, it leaves like a Wimp to Warrior shaped hole in your life. Some people, you know, were able to cope with that and, you know, find a different outlet. But for me, it was really important that, you know, I stuck to the regime that I was in, getting up early, getting my training in. One of the big things for me at the time was I was allowing people that I worked with kind of dictate to me that, you know, you had to work extra hours, you know, you had to stay late in work. If you wanted to proceed with your career, you had to do this. And I realized, you know, through the Wimp to Warrior process that, you know, I didn't want to do this. You know, I was doing it because somebody else told me that I had to do it. And I was counting the hours to till I got home so I could get my gear and go back to the gym. And then I was going to bed early so I could get up early and go to the gym. And all the hours in between where I was going to work was just, you know, was killing me. And what the Wimp to Warrior process kind of taught me, and, you know, try and find something that makes you happy, you know. A lot of people out there doing jobs they don't like. A lot of people out there in relationships they don't like. Wimp to Warrior kind of gives you kind of that self-realization that, you know, there's more to life than 9 to 5s and counting the hours until you're kind of, you know, wishing your life away.
Yeah.
I was very lucky. John seen the value in me through what I did with him for the Wimp to Warrior program. I work full-time now in SBG. So I'm extremely lucky from that point of view. I've got the dream job in the dream location. So I absolutely love it. And without Winter Warrior, I wouldn't have it, you know?
That's amazing. Cool. Oh, Dane, we've got you back on video.
Perfect. I figured out the technology. I pushed a button there and then pushed a button there and appeared again. Brilliant. Should have brushed my hair.
Thank you. And what would you say about people coming to your next trials? How would you get someone through the door? What would you say to people who are on the fence about it?
All I've really been saying to them is it's a genuine life-changing opportunity, and they should grab it with both hands. It's been life-changing for myself. Like I said, I'm not particularly a morning person. I came from years. I used to work night shift in a casino years ago, and then I was just like, I'm never going to be a morning person ever again. And just doing Wimp to Warrior, I've added in like a few more kind of coaching hours that I was probably too lazy to do before. So I can vouch for the fact that it's life changing myself. You know, I feel much better now getting up first thing in the morning, coming in and getting something done. And just from witnessing people do the course, just seeing how much they got from it. You know, I'm not a bullshitter. I won't write anything on my social media or anything that I don't think I can back up. And I do believe that signing up to the Wimp to Warriors is a really positive experience. It's something that I think I probably, if it had been about when I first maybe got into MMA, I would have maybe done it myself. And as one of our coaches said to me the other day, a lot of people start doing MMA because they want to fight and they want to do a fight. If you go to almost any MMA gym, it's probably going to be like a year or something at least until you get to fight. This is kind of a cheeky shortcut to get a fight in a way, and you're not going to be matched unfairly. You're going to be matched against someone the same level as you. So if competing is something that you really want to do it, and it's almost a cheat code towards competing. You get basically almost private coaching. You get a full diet plan. You get a lot of different experienced coaches to help you out. And then you get to compete on a really well-run show at the end of it.
Where is the show?
It's 5 minutes from the gym. It's a place called Maryhill Community Hall. It's a really old venue, but it's a brilliant venue. It's got tiered seating around three sides of it. And it's a little kind of cauldron, and it's a really, really nice little place.
Awesome. So we're kind of getting to the end of the show. Richie, have you got any final words while I look through the final comments on YouTube?
I mean, this being the UK podcast, I know it goes everywhere, but we've got some really good series coming. You know, obviously Glasgow's the second series. We've got South Morton, which is in Oxfordshire. They've got their first series coming up. We've got another gym in Birmingham, which is a really cool gym. I was there today, which is the
Combat Sports Centre.
Combat Sports Centre. Thank you.
Well done.
And then Primal Gym in Leeds, and then also SBG in Bradford. So we've got, as well as the London. What, Mark? Do you want to talk about the second London gym that we've got?
So we've got Diesel Gym. It's just east of the city. So City London, great Cliff that runs that. Has been in the game for years and got a great setup. So looking forward to them coming. It's sort of Rotherhithe Way. So it's just east of. Yep, just sort of east of the city. Diesel, great setup. Like I say, Cliff's a great guy. I'm also talking to a few other gyms in London, but you know, we're just sort of pacing ourselves. We don't want to get them all surging in there at once. But eventually, I'm really looking forward to having North, South, East, and West London, as well as something in the middle of town as well, similar to the setup in Sydney, where we have six gyms live. So that's exciting stuff. We've got others in the pipeline, but just want to get these guys up and running first. So very excited, certainly for the Leeds one, because it's opposite my work. So that's going to be great for me.
That will be great for you. So I would like to get final words from everyone, if that's okay. So coming to you first, Dean.
Why would you come to me first? I don't know what to say under pressure.
come to you last if you like.
Yeah, just sign up to Whip to Warrior. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. Hope to have some good fun at the tryouts, and then looking forward to a strong series.
Thanks, Dan.
Excellent. Andrew?
I suppose last thing, before we started this season, when we were I got a phone call just before the trial started, and a guy said that his anxiety was so... the anxiety killed him in the car on the way up, and he couldn't bring himself to come through the door. The irony is that if he'd come through the door, it would have fixed his anxiety. It's one of those things. I can't speak of it highly enough. If you'd come through the door, I guarantee you're going to have the absolute time of your life.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Mark?
I'd echo just what Andrew said and what we've been saying all night. And that is, people look at the train and they think it's hard. They look at the fight and they think it will be hard. None of that's as hard as the first step, walking through the door. And you walk through that door, and there's a room full of people just like you, can't wait for you to come in. And they'll all share their story. They'll all share their journey. And their journey is going to be just like yours. So get on and do it. They're waiting for you.
True. And before I come to you, Richie, I'm just going to read out the last comments. Colin again saying, good luck with the finale in Dublin. Amazing. There's actually quite a few. This is rude, Dean. Somebody commented that they preferred you off camera. It's only Pete and Ox, though, so don't worry.
Hey, he's no fucking oil painting.
Nobody wants to see him on camera. And then somebody's asked about one in Essex, Hearts, or East Anglia. I know you guys are always looking, and actually, I've put forward some amazing gyms to you guys before, but
yep.
Unfortunately, the fact that there's not a lot of money in MMA, a lot of coaches that would be great to do a Wimp to Warrior program have full-time jobs outside of the coaching they're already doing as well.
That's no excuse. That's no excuse. They get up early like everyone else whilst you were sleeping.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's cool when you're doing it. I think if I was just running season after season of it, I might find it quite challenging.
Kate, just very, very quickly on that one with the coaches, right? Yeah. There'll be coaches out there with preconceived ideas about this, the same way there are potential people going to try out with preconceived ideas. If you've got a preconceived idea, get in touch with us and talk to us, and we'll let you know what it's really about.
Great, yeah, good advice. And finally, how do we get to see it? Chris Gadden, I'm really sorry, I don't know what you mean by it.
Finale, perhaps, I think he's referring to. maybe it's finale he means.
Oh, okay. So,
my ticket.
People watch it online or... I know that wasn't one of the Australia ones you put on Fight TV of them have been on.
Yeah, we've streamed a few. It's up to the gym at the end of the day.
Right.
So some gyms will stream it, some will record it and play it later. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And somebody else asked how many seasons there have been. Well, there have been so many seasons in so many cities. What's the furthest through you are? It must be somewhere in Australia. How many seasons in are you?
Nine in the original series that I started. It's on series 9.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I should count up. You know, I should count up. But it'd be a lot.
It would be a lot. Brilliant. Well, so we've been looking to you. Any last words?
Sorry, Andrew, what was that, Chan?
I was just about to say about how the Winter Warrior program inspired that TV show here in Dublin that's coming out next year. Next month, whereby we were approached by Irish TV, an Irish TV production company, who had this particular lady who suffered her entire life at the hands of an abusive husband. And all she ever wanted to do was to learn a self-defence. And in SPG, we offer a free self-defence class for ladies on a Saturday morning. And she came to us and she said, look, I'd like to learn a self-defence, and we're going to record it for TV. And John Kavanagh at the time said, look, you know, we've no problem. We'll do that for you, no problem. But it's not going to make for great TV if she's just going to come in and learn a different version of self-defence every Saturday morning. We can turn this lady into an MMA fighter in a short period of time using the Wimp to Warrior program. So we did once, it was actually, we reduced it down to 12 weeks where she trained twice a day because we were limited for time. She was a 53-year-old woman. And in the on the first day she came in, she cried seeing somebody else get hit.
Jeez.
Right? And by the end of it, 12 weeks later, she made a walk, an incredible walk. I can't wait to share it with everybody when the TV show comes out. She walked with absolute confidence to the cage with her hands held high. She fought a girl 24 years old and lost on a decision. But there was times in the fight where I thought she was done, and she just bit down on that gum shield and went for it. And if it wasn't for the fundamentals through the Wimp to Warrior program, I can't say that that we could have done what we did with her in such a short period of time.
Amazing. What's her name and what's the show called?
Her name is Emma Stafford, and the show is called Wingman, and it's hosted by Baz Ashmewe, who did a TV show called 50 Ways to Kill Your Mammy. It was big on Sky
One. Yeah. I know that, yeah.
We got very close. Emma still turns up to the gym today. She comes in every day, maybe every second day. She's a yoga instructor, so she gives free yoga and I give her free pad work. So we're still very close. So the TV show's out next month. But, there's nothing will show you what the Wimp to Warrior program is about other than this. You know, supremely had no faith in her own ability to, like, making that walk to the cage, hands held high, lost on a decision, no shame in that, to a girl half her age, having never, ever done martial arts before she was 53 years old. I think it's an inspirational story.
Superb.
Amazing, yeah.
That's cool.
What an amazing note to end on.
Yeah. I'm not following that one.
If you could just wrap up with some of the seasons that are about to start or some of the places that people can look to trials and...
If anyone goes to, if they just go to wimptowarrior.com, there's literally a map of the world now. And you can just click on somewhere in the world that's close to you and it pops up where they are. I mean, we've got, like I said, we've got plenty of UK series starting. We've got Glasgow going series two. We've got Leeds. We've got Bradford. We've got South Morton. We've got Birmingham. We've got two new London ones. Ireland are all deep into series at the moment, but there's some of the Ireland series, like Cork will be going again soon. Tullamore will go again soon. Dublin will be going later on in the year. They've got a new gym opening in Dublin. John Kavanagh's got to open a new gym. So we've got heaps. And if you're listening to this overseas, we've got series kicking off all over the US and Canada, more in Australia. So go to the website. That's the easiest thing. I'll be here all night listening more otherwise.
And you're happy for Warriors to do it again as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We in Australia, most of our series in Australia will have at least four or five people that are coming back as Warriors and repeating the program, because you could literally do this program six times and learn everything every day. You learn every time you go to the mat. So you're not repeating the same stuff. You're learning every single time. So we have a lot of people that come back and do it. I'm working on some short versions of the program, which will be just specifically for either striking or grappling, that I'm going to launch later on this year as well. And all this will sit under IMAF, which is the International Mixed Martial Arts Federation, which we've been recognised by as a training program that they've got a new syllabus coming out, which will be to get Olympic recognition. You have to have a progressive training system, a belt system, and Winter Warriors program has been recognised for their first level. So people will be able to go into that belt system of MMA as well through Winter Warrior, which is amazing.
That's awesome. And I really love that. That's another part of what we were talking about, that kind of progression from beyond Wimp to Warrior.
Yeah, what to do next.
For people to know that it's the beginning of something. Okay, the finale might be the end of something, but it's also the beginning. Getting that belt, that first IMAF belt, will be, you know, the start of a journey.
Yeah. Yeah, people put too much emphasis on the finale. You know, I always talk about the finale as just being a celebration of the end of a particular time of training. And it should be, it's almost like a springboard. That's the way you should look at it is, I've done this, now what can I do? Not, I've done this and it's all over. You should be like ready to take on anything at that point and look for the next challenge. And we've got more programs coming out. People can stay in the gym. They can go in the IMAP pool system. They can compete or not compete. It doesn't matter. But that what they learn about themselves in that 22 weeks should springboard them into the next exciting adventure. That's really what I want people to get from this program.
Oh, 100%. Again, a really good note to end on. And thank you so much, everyone, for doing this tonight. It's been amazing. Wimp to Warrior was a huge part, still is a huge part of my life, and I can't stop ramming it down everyone's throat that I meet. And I'm sure when I was doing it, I thought I was quite bad when I did the marathon, but that was nothing compared to when I was doing this. Fortunately, this is a bit more interesting, and even my clients at work, still 2 years on from my finale, they still say, are you doing that wrestling thing still? So
yeah.
At least it can't be that annoying, but it's an amazing program and it does change lives. And it's just, I can't say enough good things about it. And I'm so glad that you all came on to talk to me about it tonight.
Thank you for your support as well, Kay. I really appreciate it. Yeah. I know you're helping people, inspiring people to do the program, which, you know, they'd be able to come back to you in 6 months' time and go, I heard your show and I did the program, and you know, you'll be able to attribute your part of your journey, their journey, to your support for Winter Warrior. So thank you. And I'll see you Saturday night.
Saturday night, Yuichi is going to be at Rise of Champions in Brentwood, because it is the only place to be this Saturday. And if anybody in the whole of Essex has any questions on Winter Warrior, where they can join, where they can learn, come up. Speak to me or speak to Richie at Rock, and we will sort you out and we'll give you all the info you need. And we're also going to put in the comments section of this interview all of the links to join everything.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Casey.
Have a great evening.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, guys.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.